Again, great you guys are being here today. Mother's Day is always, always a special day. It's a treat for us. We love to celebrate it more than just recognize it. We love to honor our mothers, and if it were totally possible beyond a small gift and just a day of recognition, you deserve everything and more of being a mom, and we're so thankful, and we're honored that you would just bless us by being here today, because I'm sure you were pulled in many, many different directions. Some of you had to say no to some of your kids to be here, and that type of thing. They had to say no to some of their pastors to be here, and we thank you very, very much. But today is a unique day for many of you as mothers. For some of you, it is your very first Mother's Day. Congratulations. This is the first year that you have been a mother. I told John earlier, I said, cool, what's her name again? It's Jen's second Mother's Day. And he goes, yeah, that's right. He said, but last year, of course, she was still expecting. I go, that's right. This is her first year to have, J.D. with her. I remember her son's name, but I can't remember who the heck she is. And then some of you, you're the mother again. This is going to be your second go-around. I know that Nicole Griffin is expecting to hear real soon, and it's just really cool. And for some of us, it's the first Mother's Day without your mother. Listen, I would never mention that to remind you of the loss or the agony in that, but the cool thing is that with God's help, today is a day where you get to honor not only her, but her memory and the contribution she's made in your life. Every one of our mothers has molded us. They've taken care of us far beyond just the things that they do when you're a child, and today is a great day to really honor them in that respect. And I want to remind you that we all play a role in our Mother's Day. First of all, this is your day. You're the mom. And today, as a church, as individuals, as family members, we just want to love on you and tell you that we know that you know the joy of giving life, and some of you even know what the threat is of wanting to take it back. And thank you for allowing us those hiccups in our life, and you overlooked so much, and you still carried us through that. But secondly, we celebrate this day in honor of our mothers, because whether you're male or female, you have a mother. And you have the opportunity to either remember her or honor her and bless her today with cards, gifts, and whatever, because we all know who she is. You know what she means to us, and we have her unique fingerprints on our lives. I think of those also who have never had the privilege of being a mother. You've never had that honor of giving life, but you know what? You've given birth, but you have given life. You've given so many people the reason to believe that there is someone who loves them and cares for them. You've taken children into your home that weren't of your blood, but you've loved them and you've raised them. You've reached out to family members and embraced them, and they would affectionately call you grandma or aunt or mom if it was appropriate, but that's who they are. I think of the Bible when you look at Moses' life, and here he was under the threat of death, and his mom took him, put him in a basket, and thank goodness that Pharaoh's daughter found him, because if Pharaoh's son had found him, most men wouldn't have done anything. But here is this lady that wasn't connected and raised him, and we have that story, and thank God for it. I think of also of figures like Mother Teresa, who never had children of her own, but I wonder how many thousands of people call her mother today because she loved and took care of all of those wonderful, wonderful little children who had been abandoned, literally found in the dump, and she took them home, took care of them, watched over them, and raise them to where they have a fabulous, fabulous life. Moms, thank you. We love you. You're awesome. But I do have something I want to share with you. Oh, sorry. Didn't want to preempt that clap. I found this, and it's a little too late, but I want to read this to you. These are Mother Day don'ts. Mother Day don'ts, okay? First of all, don't buy anything that plugs in, because anything that requires electricity is seen as impersonal. Don't buy clothing that involves sizes. All you need is one Mother's Day to figure that one out. The chances are 1 in 7,000 that you won't get the size right, and your wife will be offended the other 6,999 times. Don't get anything useful. The new clothes iron with the retractable cord and the Teflon surface isn't going to win you any brownie points. Don't buy anything that involves weight loss or self-improvement. She will perceive a six-month membership to the rec center as a suggestion that she's overweight. Don't buy jewelry, because the jewelry she wants, you can't afford. And the jewelry you can't afford, she doesn't want. Don't spend too much. How do you think we're going to afford that, she'll say. But don't spend too little, because she'll say, well, is that all I'm worth? And finally, Don't forget that a kind word, an expression of sincere appreciation, and I love you from the heart is the best gift. I didn't say it was going to be the only gift, but it's the best gift. Amen? All right. Well, hey, a couple of things that I want to share with you before we're dismissed today is some things that we can do for our mothers. Some do's, if you will. We've done the don'ts. Let's do the do's real quick. And first of all, do be a godly mom. This is to you mothers. I've never been in that position. I don't speak from a place of authority. This is me assuming and associating with that role and not actually been in through that role. So I think that my words, since they come from what God says, isn't going to be inherently wrong because I've never been there. I'm a man versus a woman, but I just want to tell you that you being a godly woman moves heaven and earth. Proverbs 31:30 says this, "Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Listen, a godly woman is no longer the norm in America. Name me one person on the national platform or the national stage that we'd say, that's a godly woman. And we're running out of godly men. People like Billy Graham and stuff like that. But underneath all of that and behind all that are probably these incredible ladies that didn't ever share the limelight. But you know, they're godly people in our life. And that's who we want you to be, and we encourage you to be that. You are called a godly woman not because you own a Bible or you go to church or whatever. It's because we see God in you. You realize the first thing that going to take these children or somebody leading them to Christ is seeing Christ in us. And that's who you are as a godly mother. It's cool that the little nursery rhymes and the things that we do, but behind that is a spirit that literally lends itself and invests itself in a child. That's the things that they will remember. It really is. I've told several people, here they are saying goodbye to your elderly mother. She lived a good, long, productive life. But the reason you're broken is not because she's dead at 80 or 90 or whatever. It's because you're remembering all of those tender years when she was young enough to pick you up with one arm and carry you off and to change your diaper and to watch over you and come to your things as when you were a kid. That's what you are remembering. I found this in a couple of things I'd like to read to you. It says, a godly woman. There are some people, special people, who wear the title mom, wife, sister, aunt, friend, and others. They can make you feel like they are their only concern. You are the priority of their life. Even when their time is demanded and they are surrounded by others, you're still number one. There are women who touch is always healing, their hugs reassuring, their expression always accepting. There are some women who instruct by example instead of words. They give us all a reason to be better people. We marvel at their patience, their ability to love unconditionally, how they always are able to say the right thing at the right time. There are some women who quietly go about living their lives, never sensing the impact that they have on others, never knowing the void created by their absence. They are ordinary women making extraordinary contributions to our lives. There are some women who unknowingly leave a legacy for all of us to follow. Some have since departed for a greater reward. They showed us how to love and how to live, not by how they died, but how they lived. And then there are some women who still touch us, who still show us who God is on a daily basis. Don't ever minimize, don't ever excuse that. My mom, we used to compliment her on her meals, and she'd say, oh, you're just hungry. Now, you're not a godly woman simply because you have the godly attributes or you have the godly activities. It's because you are a godly woman. The Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you, and it, through you, ministers to all of us. We still want you to love us as that all of our lives. And then there's those grandmothers. I'm sorry, but there's just a category all to its own, grandmas. You know, you get to skip that generation because they say, you know, intelligence skips a generation. So while your kids can't do anything right, you know, your grandkids can't do anything wrong. So you just cater to them, you just love them. It's our job as grandparents to just absolutely spoil them and then send them home. And we're doing a pretty good job of it. So here I saw this. This was an 8-year-old who wrote this about a grandmother. A grandmother is a lady who has no children of her own. So she likes other people's boys and girls. They don't have anything to do except just be there. They take us for walks. They slow down past pretty leaves and caterpillars. They never say hurry up. Usually they're fat, but not too fat to tie your shoes. And it's just an 8th grader, okay? Yeah. They wear glasses, and sometimes they can take their teeth out. They can answer questions like, why do dogs hate cats, and why isn't God married? They don't talk like visitors who do the hard things that make you that you can't understand. When they read to us, they don't skip words or mind if it's the same story all over again. Everybody should try to have a grandma, especially if you don't have television, because grandmas are the only grown-ups who always have time. So be a godly woman and be a godly mother and be a godly grandmother. The second thing is do honor our godly mothers. You know, our mothers do an incredible job of these unbelievable things that most of us would never want to tackle, and they seem to have this energy to burn and this ability that we have no idea where it came from. They can multitask and all kinds of stuff, and these are just the things that we see, but underneath all of that, we should honor her because of the who person she is and the person she is in God. Proverbs 31:28. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Listen, most godly women that I know, they don't want you to gloat over them. They don't want you to brag on them. They don't want to hold them. But I don't know anybody that doesn't like a little appreciation, a big thank you, and just being recognized for all the little things that they do. It's amazing how too often we take those things for granted. Listen, the love of a mother can never be denied, but it should never be concealed either. It should never be taken for granted. It should never be something that we hold in silence as if it's supposed to be the right thing. Now, men can kind of do that. I don't know why we give men permission to do that, but, you know, I've heard that story many, many times about how that the old lady asked the old man and said, you know, hey, why don't you ever say you love me? He said, I said it once and I meant it. If I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. You know, guys are kind of like that. We're indifferent. Okay, you know. But women, they need to hear that, and they want to hear that, and it's so easily given. I don't know why we don't do it quite often more and more and more. I found this quote, nothing compares to a mother's broken heart, but nothing heals like a mother's touch. I'm going to tell you what, I don't remember it because, you know, you just have those memories that are just so young and so you know, far gone that you don't remember it. But I've seen it time and time again. Boom, when somebody's hurt, that kid runs straight to the mom. The only reason dads get preference is if they're the only one there. But moms, I mean, boom, you just run to that mom and you just want them to just wrap you up. And that's what happens in a godly mom. Ephesians 6 says this, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment that also has a promise with it, that it may be well with you and that you may live long here on the earth. Isn't it neat that within the Ten Commandments, the first one that had a promise connected to it was when God said, honor your mother and father, because if you'll do so, you will have a long, productive life here on earth. And that's something that we not only see as a commandment, but it's attached with a promise. It's easy to fulfill that from the emotional side, but then when you start going down the commandment route, you're going, here's what God is saying. In this human life that we give you, this person who gave you birth, as they raise you, as you honor them, then you know what? I'm going to bless you. This is how I'm going to say thank you for doing the right thing for her. And that's something we get to do. The third thing is do honor the God of our mothers. Moms love the fact that their kids recognize God in them, but how much greater of the compliment is if we recognize that God for ourselves. As much as mothers deserve to be honored today, we all know, and I think she'll confirm, that the credit goes to God. Every pickle you've been in, every tough situation, every difficulty, every challenge in life was something that God gave you the ability because of who He was and planted your spirit in your life to make it through all of those things, but all of a sudden, not just make it, but survive. You know, Joshua is the one who first received that wonderful promise. He said, God said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I just wonder how many times has this been the one thing that sustained our mothers through all kinds of stuff. That it was that ability for them to be able to just take life as it was and as it is, and the difficulties, the ups and the downs, and see us through all of those things. I'll never leave you and forsake you. You see, there's a God behind every mom. Because mom and God are a package deal. They just come together. I don't know, when I grew up, I was walking around in this forest of knees, and all of the male voices just sounded like God who wasn't really happy. I mean, God who was always just all about what we do and where we go and what comes out of our mouth and if we acted right. But then the cool thing was mom was the one that would always just pick us up and love us and take care of us and was always there. And she always did those extra stuff. I mean, you know, she made things out of nothing. You know, she baked stuff out of nothing and just provided, and it was always cool. I just still remember, my mom's name was Rose, so I remember the one day that I was coming home, and I decided I'd go to Randy's house instead of go home, which I knew it was wrong, but, you know, just kind of went. And then next thing you know, I thought, I better get home, and I'm walking down the road, And here comes mom in my dad's Oldsmobile. We call it the Rosemobile. And she came up, I go, oh, I'm in trouble. So I dove in this ditch as if I was going to be like hidden. And the Rosemobile went, erp, and the car door went up. She said, get in here. I go, I'm in so much trouble. But I'm really, really worried about it because it was always the pass-off thing. When your dad gets home, when your dad gets home, when your dad gets home. So I thought that was what was going to happen. So I get in, and I'm trying to aggro them. You fake tears and the whole thing. And my mom surprised me like crazy. She said, I'm not going to wait on your dad to come. I'm going to take care of this myself. I'm going, on the inside, I'm going, yeah. Because I'd never seen mom spank anybody. So we go home, you know, and everything's cool. I'm still trying to act a little bit out of shape and everything. And she says, you go to your bedroom. I'm going, okay. So I go in there. She comes in a few minutes, and we have this little lecture and everything. And she goes, okay, I'm going to spank you. And I go, need some instructions? A little help on that? You want some advice or whatever? She said, you go to your dad's closet. You get me a belt. So I went in. I got the smallest thing I could find. I come back, you know, and my mom, and she's, I thought, you know, she's trying to act mean. Bless her heart. She didn't know how to act mean. My mom was a nut. She was certifiable. She should have been locked up years ago. Halloween every year, she would come to the school dressed up like a witch, and she would frizz her hair and take her teeth out. Oh, it was God-awful. We never claimed my mom on Halloween. It was just horrible. But she did other stuff, too. It was horrible. So she's got this belt, and I'm going, you're not bluffing anybody. She goes, you lean against the bed. I go, no problem. She goes, you drop your pants. I went, I go, problem? I go, mom, haven't you been watching? We don't do it that way. You know, she said, drop your pants. So I'm like about 12, you know, I'm not that young. And I drop my pants. And she goes, your underwear too. I went, come on. So I drop my underwear, and instead of doing this, I'm doing this, you know. And my mom lays into me, and I'm telling you what, I had never been striped like my mom. She beat me. I mean, dad would leave stuff, you know, all over the right, but she drew blood. Dear God. I thought, you know, and that's the one and only time my mom ever spanked me. Because I wasn't about to go through that again. Moms, you're awesome, but some of you need to be locked up. But I always saw the compassion and the love of God. You know what? I never went to church when I was a kid except for the times that my mom took me. She would get us up and she would dress us up and we would go to the Catholic church. And because my dad would want us to be working around 8 o'clock, we would get up earlier on a Sunday than we did on a school day so we could drive across town over by the airport and go to the Catholic church there because mom insisted that we were in church because dad made us work by 8 o'clock. You know what? I'm not angry about that at all. And even at the time, it just would seem like a little inconvenience about sleep. But it registered. It registered. My mom, so cool. We had a ministerial alliance the other day, and we met at the Catholic church, and I told the ladies who were serving the lunch, I took a picture of them, I said, I just want to send this to my mom so she would know that I was in a Catholic church today. It'll make her day. She can die and go to heaven now. Matter of fact, it was years ago that I preached in there, one of our ministerial alliance services, and so after that day, I called my mom. I said, guess what I did today? She goes, what? I said, I preached at the Catholic church. It was just dead silence. And she said, did you behave yourself? Of course I did, Mom. Come on. The God of our moms. It's very obvious. The last thing is this. Do give our mothers a reason to thank God. The greatest compliment to a mother is to be proud of her children, to be proud of her husband, and to be proud of her house, and to be able to be excited about the things that we say, the things that we do, and especially the people we become. You know, everybody has some hiccups. Everybody does some mistakes. Everybody makes some big, big, bad decisions. Everything can be reversed if we would just give her a reason to say thank you. Isn't it amazing how moms stick in there for much longer than we will ever stick in there? Moms have this ability. It's like super glue. They just hang in there and hang in there and hang in there. And they see things in our lives that our parents or that our dads and other people will never see, but they see these things. They see it in our husbands, and they see them in their children, and they just keep loving us. And I don't know what the deal is, but they're looking forward to that day when they say, thank you, God. Thank you for sustaining me and sustaining us. Listen, if you're looking for a last-minute idea for how to honor your mom or a gift, how about living a life that is so cool that your mom will always have the opportunity of saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You see, we've trained ourselves as Christians to say thank you because we're supposed to be thankful, but to literally be able to look in the mirror and say, God, I cannot believe that you have blessed me and blessed my family to the extent that you've given me this incredible privilege to be a mother. Thank you. I say that as a man, but I'd like to invite my wife to the platform. I've asked her if she would say a prayer of blessing over this day and over our mothers today. In conclusion, I am going to grab this cordless mic right here, guys. And I'm sorry for taking advantage of the pulpit, but I just will. My wife. Yeah. She has put up with an awful lot of broken bones in our family and brokenness and all. But what you don't know is a lot of things that I've seen her do. She always had a dream of being a nurse. We got married, we started having kids, and that was her fault. I can tell you the story later. So she never was able to fulfill this dream. And when Craig was finally old enough to go to school, to the preschooler, with the insistence of our pastor, quite honestly, she went back to school and fulfilled that dream, became a registered nurse, went back and got her bachelor's degree, went on and got a master's, and she's now a nurse practitioner. She's traveling all over the place, and I'm just so proud. I got to tell you, she doesn't deal with just a couple of cuts and bruises. You know, she deals with people with cancer, and many of them are literally looking for their second and third opinion and their opportunity to just live. So she deals with death every day, and I've said it very often. I think my wife does more ministry in a week than I'll do in a month, maybe even a year. I'm so proud of you, sweetheart. I love you. Thank you for being an awesome mom. You can't have the microphone yet. But I can't think of anybody that I would rather have pray a blessing over our mothers. And God bless you for being my wife and the mother of our children.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Before I pray, I just want to share, you know, Mother's Day is a sort of bittersweet for me. As a lot of you remember, several years back, my mom died on Mother's Day. And I know it seems really sad, but you know, it really wasn't. It's kind of apropos in my heart. It just honored her even more because she was a great mom of six wonderful kids. And I just really love and respect my mom. She was a pastor's wife for 50 years, and she didn't work outside of the home, but she worked inside of our home very, very hard. I remember going home from school, I think nearly every day she was on the utility porch ironing. That was back in the days where we ironed everything. She ironed, she cooked, she canned, she baked, she sewed. She just did everything in my heart that a mom should do. But yet, I turned out to be a different kind of mom, I think. And I thank you all for accepting me, because I'm not that June Cleaver mom like my mom was. I'm a working mom, and I appreciate you for letting me do that. And I appreciate you younger mothers who are working and raising your children, and some of you are single moms, and I just can't even imagine how you do that. Some of you aren't moms maybe yet, but you do have a mom, and I just want to pray and just and I can't stop thinking about our friend. I've lost so many young women this year who, they're friends of this family right over here, who their families are going through Mother's Day for the first time without their mom. And so if you know somebody who's lost their mother or their wife or their grandmother, say a special prayer for them, because it's going to be hard. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day. Thank you for this country that we're so fortunate to live in. Thank you for creation. Thank you for creating us so that we can commune with you and with each other. Thank you for creating man, and then thank you for creating a woman to be his helpmate. And thank you, Father, for all of our mothers. I ask you to reach down and just wrap your loving arms around the families that I can't stop thinking of today that don't have their moms there for the first time this year. Let them feel the joy that passes all understanding. The world doesn't understand it because they don't know you like we know you. So give them that joy that goes beyond all understanding. Let them feel your love and let them feel your comfort and remind them that that loved one, that mom, is in a wonderful place and she's communing with you. And we're all going to join those mothers much sooner than we probably know. Thank you for everyone in this church, Jesus. You know, everyone has a story. I look at people and I think, wow, they must have it all together. They have this beautiful family and a home and picket fences. But that's not true because I know that everybody has a story and everybody's going through some struggle. So be with everyone today who's struggling. Bless them, Father. We honor the mothers today, but only you can honor our mothers as they deserve. So just let all of them know how much you love them today, how much you love us. You created us. All of our steps are ordered by you, and you know what's ahead of us. So just prepare our hearts for the future. Keep us true to you, Father. I pray that all of the young women in our church would grow up to be the women of God that you've asked them to be, that you've prepared them to be, and that you've planned for them to be, and perhaps mothers someday to continue the heritage of the families in this church. Bless us all as we go our ways, and keep us safe, and bring us back when we meet again, but not tonight, because we're going to enjoy this evening with our moms. In Jesus' name, amen. No church tonight. Hang out with your moms.
Amen. All right, go sit down. Hey, God bless all of you. I think it's 10 till 12, so this is my Mother's Day gift to you. God bless you. Thank you for being here today. You are dismissed. Don't forget your gifts out there on the table, ladies, and be sure to take the opportunity to have your picture on the photo wall. God bless you.